Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Today I want us to consider some encouraging words from the Old Testament prophet Haggai. Now Judah had returned from 70 years of Babylonian captivity, and this return was like the rebirth of the nation, a deliverance from Egypt, a new and fresh start for these people. They were given divine instructions to establish and gain national life and religion. And through that nation, God would reveal himself and Jesus Christ would come. Now the prophets Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and others, they had kept before the people that the exile would not be the end of this special nation through which God planned to fulfill his promises to Abraham. And even though they had violated God's law and suffered the resulting losses, this did not nullify the yet unfulfilled promises of the seed through which all the families of the earth would be blessed. The nation would return to the homeland, and this they did. And there were three great restoration leaders in the return of the Jews from captivity. As there had been three major migrations from Judah into Babylon, so there were three great migrations from Babylon back into Judah. Under the leadership of Zerubbabel and Ezra and Nehemiah, each in his own time, there was the rebuilding of the temple, the great religious revival, and the restructure of the walls of the city of Jerusalem. The prophecy and the work of Haggai came in the context of the return and the effort led by Zerubbabel and the rebuilding of the temple. Now, when the Jews reached Palestine, they enthusiastically began the work on the temple. They laid the foundation, they set up some of the altars, but the work stopped. And this was due to outside opposition from adversaries, but it was also due to the indifference on the part of the Jews themselves. The enthusiasm of the beginning waned away, and this inactivity extended for some 15 years. The nation was not prospering as had been expected. The religious activity had not been restored. It was into this stale and stalled situation that Haggai came, God's prophet. Haggai was a man of unconquerable faith and of an iron resolution with a burning zeal for the restoration of the temple that Nebuchadnezzar had destroyed, and he also had an ability to arouse the people to action. He is the more noted for his sternness than for his softness, but his sternness was motivated by an unquenchable love for God, God's people, God's ways, and God's temple. The prophets of the Old Testament were both proclaimers and predictors. Their work was that of foretelling as well as forthtelling. Haggai was a prophet more of the category of a preacher than one who foretold the future, although there were certain future elements in his words. He spent his words denouncing sin and warning of the judgment of God, instructing the people in the law and encouraging his brethren to duty and to action. He met great difficulties in his work, but his task was crucial to the future of the nation. In these two chapters of Haggai, we have several discourses that he gave to the people. And the first of the words of Haggai were words of rebuke. Now the people were living in error and inconsistency, and this had to be called to their attention. He wrote, "Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." Haggai 1 and verse 2. In other words, there were some that were saying that the rebuilding of the temple was a good work, and it ought to be done, but not right now. But the time was not right, according to some. They needed to wait for better times. It seems that the history of those who profess to serve God is often blemished by those who say they agree with some work, but they always find a way to defeat it by saying, "Well, we better wait until a better time." Well, this has been true in many efforts undertaken for the growth and the building of the Lord's church. It has postponed many mission efforts and other works of the church. It has choked off benevolent work. Don't do it now. Let's wait and see what happens and see how things go, some will say. Now, surely, there must be intelligent consideration before any work is undertaken. But with some folks, there never is the right time to get on with it. And this was the problem among the people of Judah regarding the temple rebuilding. But they were also inconsistent in their actions that they proved themselves faithless and selfish. Isaiah wrote, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" Haggai 1:4. The people must have thought that the time was ripe for building their own houses and doing what they wanted to do for themselves, but building the temple of God ought to be postponed. Well, that did not make sense. Some today, they say that we lack the money and the ability and the training to do what needs to be done, but that's not true. They readily assume other activities that take the same and demand the same kind of benefits to them personally. It's strange how some people have wailed that it's a bad time to build and restore the house of assembly, but they can borrow money for their own business or their own homes. Some say they cannot afford to assume the responsibility for the support of some mission field, but they don't find any difficulty buying on credit whatever they wish to get for themselves. It was true that the nation of Judah was not getting anywhere. Haggai wrote, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not filled. You're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes." You see, the people were busy scurrying here and there and everywhere, doing what they wanted to do, but had failed to put first things first. Haggai exposed them to their sin. And we must add here that people who face this kind of sin and transgression, they need to get busy, and he wanted them to get busy over the work on the temple. But they faced another problem from those who hindered the work by being a source of discouragement. Now, Judah had been in exile for some 70 years. There were some who had gone into exile. They had now returned. They could recall the former temple. They were much older, but they remembered. And as the new temple began to rise from its foundation again, some standing by were heard to say, "Well, it's nice, but it doesn't compare with the one I remember. It's not like the earlier one. Your work is inferior to what was done earlier." Haggai said, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as comparison of it as nothing?" Haggai 2 and verse 3. These words that belittled the work was discouraging to those who were laboring. Now, there's no indication that the critics were helping to improve matters. They only stood by and criticized. They seem to have forgotten that the first temple had been destroyed because they and others of that generation had brought calamity upon the nation by their sins. If they had been busier encouraging the efforts rather than mocking and ridiculing the efforts, why, the work would have progressed much faster. We once heard a brother respond to some critics of him and what he was doing, something they all agreed needed to be done, but they didn't like the way he was doing it. He said, "I like the way I'm doing it better than the way you're not doing it." Now, the critics of the New Testament, however, were wrong in their evaluation of that work. Haggai wrote, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." So the work continued in spite of the hindrances. Some have thought possibly Haggai used these words with reference to the spiritual temple and to the church that was to come. But we mentioned that things were not going well in Judah as they should have because of the neglect to attend to first things first. But with the teaching of Haggai and his encouragement to get on with the work, there was a renewed effort. The people started in the right direction, but they became impatient, began to cry, "Now where are the blessings we're supposed to receive?" You see, they'd started the work again, and they wanted the rewards, but they wanted them immediately. This special complaint is not made in the text of Haggai, but this attitude is implied in these words. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet in the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree hath not brought forth? From this day I will bless you. You see, Haggai was trying to show his brethren that their reward was not to come when they began the work. It was to be when they completed the work. They had just started in the right direction, but they had not accomplished the goal. The harvest was not yet in storage. The trees had not yet produced their fruit. 15 years they had sown the seeds of indifference and selfishness and inactivity, drifting along in the wrong direction, putting emphasis on the wrong things, following the wrong advice, tolerating sin. They had no right to expect an overnight change in conditions just because they had started the right direction. No man has a right to expect the field to be completely plowed just because he started his tractor. No man has a right to expect an immediate harvest just because he's sown his seed. Well, finally, Haggai does speak about the future, and he gives them an encouraging word. The writer, speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of the kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. I will overthrow the chariots and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one of them by the sword of his brother. Now these people, he is simply saying, will be established again. Their purposes for having been chosen of God would be accomplished, and their enemies would be defeated. Ah, friend, today we have encouraging words from God, just as Judah received them through Haggai. If we refuse to give heed to the words of faithless men who are always pleading for postponement, wait for every action, if we will neither be among those that only criticize and belittle and don't help out, if we don't grow impatient for our rewards before putting forth the needed labor, if we will put first things first in our lives, we will establish our priorities and God will bless us. Our enemies shall be overcome as were theirs. Our promises will not to overcome all physical difficulties, but the spiritual enemy will be destroyed. Eternal happiness, spiritual protection, that will be ours to enjoy forever and ever with God. And as we labor in the building up of the Lord's church, the house of God, we have God's assurances with us, as did the people of Judah when they were erecting the physical temple in Jerusalem. We will succeed if we will persist in our labors faithfully. Let us avoid their mistakes, and let us be encouraged by the words of Haggai's instructions. These things are pertinent to us. They are written for our benefit. We can profit even from the words of this great prophet of God of long ago. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.